Typically, when we think about building a piece of software, there's this expectation of incredibly slow, deliberate, manual labor.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like laying bricks for a skyscraper. You write every single line of code by hand, you sweat over every misplaced semicolon, and you just build the foundation inch by agonizing inch.
Yeah, it has always been a craft of extreme precision. I mean, the bottleneck was always the physical act of translating human logic into machine syntax.
Right. But imagine showing up to that exact same construction site today, and suddenly there's a crew of hyper-advanced robotic cranes just sitting there.
Just waiting for you.
Exactly. They can assemble entire floors in seconds. You don't have to carry the bricks anymore. But here is the catch for you standing on that site. You have to figure out how to talk to these machines.
Right, which is the hard part.
Do you stand back with a megaphone and shout broad instructions from the ground? Or do you jump right into the cab, grab the joysticks, and operate the machinery from the inside?
It's a great analogy.
Because if you've been watching the flood of AI coding demos taking over your feeds lately, you are probably wondering which approach you should actually be taking.
Well, the tools have fundamentally changed,
Yeah.
but the interface, how we command those tools, is still heavily debated across the industry right now in 2026.
Which is exactly what we are tearing into today. We've got a massive stack of guides, tutorials, and deep dive industry reports to settle one specific massive debate, which is ChatGPT versus Cursor.
The big one.
We are going to find out which tool actually fits your workflow, matches your skill level, and we are going to look at the real-world 2026 industry statistics that prove AI literacy is no longer just a nice-to-have.
Oh, it is absolutely mandatory for survival in tech at this point.
Okay, let's unpack this.
So to really understand this debate, we have to throw out the generic label of AI entirely.
Yeah, it's too broad.
Exactly. Calling both of these things AI is like calling a bicycle and a fighter jet vehicles. I mean, technically true, but completely useless for understanding how to operate them. We need to look at their distinct architectures because they operate on fundamentally different paradigms.
Let's start with the megaphone approach. So, ChatGPT. We are all familiar with it as a general purpose conversational AI, but for developers, it has really evolved into a highly capable, serious coding companion.
It has.
And a lot of that power comes from OpenAI integrating Codex directly into the platform. So Codex acts as this dedicated coding agent living inside the web app, inside command line interfaces, and various IDE integrations.
Yeah, and its conversational nature is its superpower. You are not forced to change your entire local development environment, and you don't have to learn a new editor's key bindings.
You literally just open a browser tab.
That's it. And that flexibility makes it incredible for generating isolated standalone code snippets. So if you need a complex SQL query written out, or if you need a dense theoretical programming concept explained in plain English, it operates as a brilliant sounding board.
But then we have the joystick approach. We have Cursor. Now, Cursor is built by a company called AnySphere, and it is an AI native code editor. To be specific, it's a fork of Visual Studio Code.
Which is huge because a lot of developers already use VS Code.
Exactly. But Cursor is not just an AI plugin bolted onto the side of it like the early days of GitHub Copilot. It is engineered from the ground up to weave AI into the actual fabric of the editor.
Right.
And crucially, it doesn't just rely on one model. It dynamically routes your requests to different frontier models, like Anthropic's Claude, OpenAI's GPT, or Google's Gemini, depending on the specific task you're giving it.
And that multi-model routing breaks you out of ecosystem lock-in.
Yeah.
You aren't reliant on one company's latest update. But what's fascinating here is the crucial architectural difference that enables Cursor's main selling point.
Okay.
It all comes down to how it handles context.
Let's make that concrete for everyone listening. Using ChatGPT is kind of like hiring a brilliant contractor, but you have to keep them on the phone. You can ask them how to frame a wall, and they'll give you perfect instructions, but you still have to walk around the house, look at the wall, and swing the hammer yourself.
Yes.
Using Cursor is like having that same contractor standing in your living room, looking directly at the load-bearing walls with you.
I love that visual because it highlights the mechanism perfectly. Cursor doesn't just read the file you have open. It automatically indexes your entire repository.
Wow.
Yeah, it creates a local vector database of your code base,
Yeah.
turning all your files into mathematical representations, embeddings that the AI can instantly search. It inherently understands the abstract syntax tree of your project.
So it's not just doing a dumb keyword search across your files.
No, not at all.
It actually understands the semantic relationship. Like, it knows that a variable you changed in a front-end UI component is going to ripple all the way through your back-end API controllers and database schemas.
Precisely. It sees the connective tissue. ChatGPT, in its classic interface, just doesn't have that automatic ambient awareness.
With ChatGPT, you face this massive friction of constantly feeding it context.
Always.
If you want it to understand how two complex files interact, you have to manually copy the code, paste it into the chat box, write a paragraph explaining the relationship, and then basically pray it doesn't develop amnesia and lose the context when the conversation gets 20 prompts deep.
Which happens a lot.
You have to actively build the mental model for the AI every single time.
Right, whereas Cursor persists that project context natively. It lives inside the building with you. And because these tools are built on such wildly different architectures, they naturally cater to entirely different stages of a developer's journey.
Well, that brings up a massive question for anyone listening who is trying to figure out where to start. If we looked at the source material, who should actually be using what and when?
The reports show a very distinct pattern. Beginners and students almost universally start with ChatGPT.
Which is obvious on the surface. I mean, zero setup. You go to a URL and start typing.
The low barrier to entry is part of it, sure, but the real value is the conversational format. When a beginner hits a wall, say, a terrifying red stack trace error message in their terminal.
Oh, we've all been there.
Right. They can paste that wall of text into ChatGPT and ask, why did this happen? They can interrogate the AI. It explains the core concepts step by step. It functions as an infinitely patient tutor.
Okay, let me push back on this for a second.
Sure.
If Cursor is literally writing the code right into the project files with fast inline tab completions and sweeping multi-file refactoring, wouldn't a total beginner actually want that shortcut?
You would think so.
I mean, typing out all that exact frustrating syntax is the number one reason people quit learning to code in the first place. Why not just let the AI handle the semicolons?
It is a really tempting thought, but jumping straight to the shortcut is incredibly dangerous for a beginner. The struggle is actually the point.
You're saying they need to suffer a little bit.
They need to build cognitive muscle memory. When you are learning to code, you need to understand the why behind the syntax.
Right.
If you have an AI native editor just hitting tab and auto-completing entire asynchronous functions for you, the code base becomes a complete black box.
That makes sense.
You didn't write it, you don't know how it works, and when it inevitably breaks, you have zero fundamental knowledge to fall back on to fix it.
So ChatGPT's conversational format is actually beneficial because it forces friction. You have to read the explanation, comprehend the logic, and then physically move the code into your IDE yourself.
Yes. Cursor is optimized for pure implementation speed. It assumes you already know what you are building, why you are building it, and how the underlying systems work. The sources point out that Cursor is the tool of choice for professional web, back-end, and front-end developers.
People who need code base-wide understanding to just move fast.
Exactly. A back-end engineer dealing with microservices needs to trace authentication logic across 5 different repositories. A front-end developer is rapidly iterating on state management in React. Cursor's ability to handle those multi-file edits and debug live terminal errors natively is a massive velocity multiplier. But the prerequisite is that you are already deeply comfortable in a complex development environment.
So it is essentially a graduation process. You cut your teeth and learn the fundamentals in ChatGPT. And once you know how to build a house, you graduate to Cursor to let the robotic cranes do the heavy lifting.
That's a good way to look at it.
But here's where it gets really interesting. The reality of the software industry in 2026 isn't a zero-sum game. You don't graduate from ChatGPT and then delete your bookmark.
No, not at all.
The source material shows that top-tier developers are orchestrating both of these tools in tandem.
We are seeing a highly symbiotic workflow emerge. It is not an either scenario. It's a specific iterative loop.
Let's break that loop down for the listener. How are professionals actually bouncing between these two distinct paradigms on a daily basis?
Well, it breaks down into distinct phases of cognitive load. So phase one is scoping and architecture. You start your morning in ChatGPT. You use the conversational interface to untangle vague client requirements, brainstorm your database schema, or maybe you use it to learn the idiosyncrasies of a brand new framework you've never touched before. You have a broad, conceptual, high-level dialogue.
You are drawing up the blueprints on the whiteboard.
Exactly. Then you hit phase two, which is execution. You switch over to Cursor. You take that established blueprint, you open your repository, and you start building.
Makes sense.
You leverage Cursor's deep context for the actual implementation. You use the inline completions to write boilerplate. You use its agentic features to refactor across multiple files simultaneously. And you debug errors right in the integrated terminal.
So you let Cursor handle the brute force of the syntax, which means phase three, I'm guessing you jump back out of the weeds, take the finished feature you just built in Cursor, and drop it back into ChatGPT to figure out how to write the documentation for the mess you just made.
You nailed it. You step back out of the implementation details.
Yeah.
You use ChatGPT to generate a clean readme file, draft the technical release notes, or prep a summary for your senior engineer's code review.
Wow.
You use the conversational tool for human-facing communication and the immersive tool for machine-facing execution.
That is a phenomenal workflow, but I have to throw a massive warning flag on the play for anyone listening who wants to boot this up today. Running this dual tool loop means navigating two entirely different pricing models.
Oh, yeah.
And the underlying economics of how they work is critical to understand.
The compute costs really dictate the user experience here.
Right. As of 2026, ChatGPT generally operates on a straightforward flat subscription. You pay your $20 a month for the plus tier and you just chat away. Cursor, on the other hand, operates on a tiered credit-based system.
And you have to understand why.
Yeah.
When you ask Cursor to build a feature, it isn't just sending your text prompt to the AI. It is packing pieces of your entire code base, like thousands and thousands of lines of context, into the prompt behind the scenes.
Wow.
We call that context stuffing. And it consumes an enormous amount of computational tokens.
And those tokens cost money. So your credit pool in Cursor burns exponentially faster if you are manually forcing the editor to use highly complex frontier models for simple tasks.
Exactly.
You have to let Cursor's multi-model routing do its job to stay efficient, and you definitely have to verify current pricing plans because the compute market shifts constantly.
But companies and independent developers are more than willing to pay those compute costs, because this dual-tool workflow is driving an explosive trend the industry has aggressively branded as vibe coding.
Okay, I have to stop you there. Vibe coding.
I know.
That sounds like a ridiculous buzzword for people who just light some incense, type a prompt, and pray the application compiles.
Bruh.
Are real professional software engineers actually using that term?
They absolutely are, and it represents a very real shift in methodology.
Yeah.
Vibe coding refers to natural language-driven, highly iterative development. You aren't obsessing over the syntax, you are orchestrating the logic. You are essentially conversing your application into existence. The sources point to a fascinating example, actually. A full stack with vibe coding course running out of Hyderabad.
An entire boot camp dedicated to it.
Yes, and this isn't a fringe seminar. They are teaching students how to build production-ready projects from day one. Instead of spending 3 weeks teaching them how to write a perfectly optimized sorting algorithm from scratch, they are teaching them how to act as an orchestrator.
Wow.
They are teaching prompt engineering as the new primary syntax, using tools like ChatGPT and Cursor to generate the boilerplate so the student can focus on system architecture.
When entry-level boot camps in major tech hubs are entirely restructuring their curriculum around AI orchestration, you know the ground has completely shifted beneath us.
Absolutely.
Which brings us to the macroeconomic reality of 2026. If these hyper-productive vibe coding workflows are becoming the standard, what does that actually look like at scale? What does this mean for the career trajectory of the person listening right now?
Well, the adoption metrics in these industry reports are nothing short of staggering. We are looking at a near total saturation of the developer market.
Let me pull up these numbers because they paint a wild picture. According to Stack Overflow's 2025 survey, 84% of developers were already using or planning to use AI.
Right.
Fast forward just a few months into early 2026, and JetBrains reports that 90% of developers are using at least one AI tool at work, and 74% are actively using specialized coding assistants, not just chatting with a bot on the side.
And just look at the sheer scale of the capital flowing into the companies providing these tools.
It's crazy. GitHub Copilot, the incumbent giant, hit 4.7 million paid subscribers.
Right.
But here is the real disruptor. AnySphere, the startup behind Cursor, reportedly surpassed $2 billion in annualized revenue.
$2 billion.
Boasting over 1 million subscribers. Think about the gravity of that. A startup to a free open source editor from Microsoft wove AI into it and built a $2 billion business right under the industry giants' noses. And OpenAI's Codex alone hit 2 million weekly active users.
The scale is astronomical. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, there is a massive structural catch hidden in this tidal wave of adoption.
The trust gap.
The trust gap. Despite this 90% adoption rate across the industry, multiple surveys spanning 2025 and 2026 reveal a fascinating paradox. Fewer than a third of developers actually trust the AI-generated code without reviewing it first.
Less than 33%. So literally everyone is paying billions of dollars to use these tools, but nobody actually trusts the output blindly.
And they absolutely shouldn't. This raises an important question about the evolving role of the human in the loop. Because AI drastically accelerates the sheer volume of code you can output, it actually makes your traditional foundational programming skills exponentially more important, not less.
Wait, if the AI is writing the code at lightning speed, why do my foundational skills matter more? Shouldn't I just be able to coast on the AI's intelligence?
Because your job title has fundamentally changed.
Yeah.
You're no longer primarily a writer, you are an auditor.
Oh, I see.
When Cursor generates three complex files of API routing logic in 10 seconds, it might introduce a highly subtle race condition, or use an incredibly inefficient memory structure, or silently introduce a security vulnerability.
And if you don't deeply understand system design, security principles, and manual debugging, you have no way to catch those subtle hallucinations.
Exactly. You'll just be generating broken, unmaintainable legacy code faster than anyone in history.
Yikes.
You're essentially acting as a senior engineer whose full-time job is reviewing pull requests from a very fast, very eager, but dangerously overconfident junior developer.
That is such a good way to put it.
AI fluency is a multiplier for your foundational skill set. It cannot substitute for it.
That makes perfect sense. You have to know what a structurally sound house looks like in order to know if the robotic cranes just built you a death trap.
And that is why understanding the nuanced difference between these tools is vital. You need the judgment to know when to ask ChatGPT to explain a complex security vulnerability conceptually, and when to trust Cursor to surgically refactor your production database queries.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Whether you are using the conversational approach to brainstorm system architecture, or you are jumping into the cab of the robotic crane to rapidly execute a massive multi-file refactor, the core takeaway from all these 2026 reports is identical.
Treat these tools as accelerators for your own judgment.
Yes. They are not a replacement for your hard-earned expertise. If you haven't yet, try running the symbiotic workflow on a small personal project this week. Scope it out in ChatGPT, build it in Cursor, and see how that orchestration actually feels in practice.
As you experiment with that workflow, consider this. We are entering an era where AI tools allow us to generate staggering amounts of code in a fraction of the time it used to take. The bottleneck of software development is officially no longer the physical act of typing, it is reading. In a few years, will the most valuable, highly compensated coding skill in the industry actually just be the human ability to read, comprehend, and verify code faster than a machine can write it?
That is a brilliant and slightly terrifying thought to leave on. Are we all just becoming code readers instead of code writers? Because if you can't read the blueprint, all the AI tools in the world won't stop the skyscraper from falling over. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep experimenting, keep pushing back on the hype, and we'll catch you on the next one.